Amen. I tell you, it's good to be here this morning. And it's always exciting, at least for me, to start something new. And this morning, we're going to begin a new series titled Burdened But Not Broken. And today, we're going to take a look at affliction, at some troubles and some trials. And we're going to begin, I guess, our series in the book of Psalms here. In particular, we're going to be looking at verse 71 of Psalm 119. And I hope that this message will prepare us as we continue on. And over the next few weeks, we're going to examine David's life and see how the Lord worked through his trials. David was a man who was tested many times, but God blessed him greatly throughout his life. You know, I hope it will encourage each one of us to remain faithful to the Lord, no matter what may come into our life. I think of that song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. It's easy to sing the song, but it's sometimes difficult to live that song, especially when we're in the middle of trials and difficulties. But that's when we need to be faithful to the Lord. You know, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses. In our English translation, and not just our English translation, all English translations, it's difficult to notice the fact that this entire chapter is a poem. Is what it is. It's broken down into sections of eight. And each section begins with the letter of the alphabet and it goes all the way down. In the Hebrew, we find that it's a poem, is what it is. That's how it's been arranged. And so each section, each eight verses, begins with a letter. And each section kind of, I guess, they focus on a different area of God's Word and how God's Word is a blessing to us. Now, the section we're going to be looking at this morning is verses 65 on down to verse 72. We'll primarily be looking at verse 71. But in this section, we find David, and that's who it's believed authored this psalm, even though his name's not given in the psalm, it's believed by most that he was the one who wrote it. In this section, David testified of God's goodness, how God was a blessing to him, even though David was afflicted and went through some trials and some difficult times. You know, David's life, when you read it in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, often there was one trial after another. He'd get through one only to find himself running into another one. Sometimes it was by his decisions or his actions, and sometimes it just happened. It was just one trial after another. You know, I guess life has not changed a whole lot. How many of you feel like that sometimes? Where it seems like as soon as you get done with one trouble or trial or difficulty, and you think you get a chance to rest a little bit, then something else happens, and you got to deal with that. You know, we've made a lot of advancements in our world as far as technology, but when it comes down to it, like David, we still live in a world of troubles, a world of trials, a world of hardships. So today, I hope that we'll see what to make of our afflictions in this passage. I got two thoughts I'm going to give to you. First, the perspective, and then second, the purpose of affliction. So the perspective, let's look at verse 71 again. David said here, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." So let's talk about perspective. What is affliction? Now the word for affliction in this passage where it says afflicted, that means to be abased or to be dealt harshly with, to be chastened, or to be weakened in any manner. In other words, it basically means to have a difficult time. To face a trial is what that means. Now, David faced numerous trials, numerous afflictions, and some came upon him out of nowhere. Some I think he could see coming, and he had to deal with them as they came. But afflictions can be the result of evil men. That's persecution. They can be upset. They can come after you. They can be the result of simply living in a world of sin. You know, sometimes we are afflicted just because of the world we live in. Not so much that someone's after us, but the world we live in. I think about storms that come in. You do realize the storms that come into, well, we'll say Little Rock, the storms that come into Little Rock, they cover everybody, not just the lost or the saved. Everyone has to deal with the rains or the lightning or the thunder or the wind or whatever comes on down. You know, those are afflictions that we have just from living in this world of sin. Also, afflictions can be brought about by our own actions. Sinful conduct. I think of sinful conduct. We can make some decisions that produce affliction. That as we move forward, we got to deal with those. So we got to address those because of our decisions. Now, David, if you'll notice here in verse 71, he said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." David, in this passage, concluded that his afflictions were good. You know, when you read that, that says a lot. To be able to look at a difficulty, a hardship, and to conclude that it was good. In other words, that it was beneficial. That it helped him out in life. That he was not necessarily glad that he went through it, but he was glad for the effects of that affliction that he suffered. Now, mind you, this was written after the fact. David penned this psalm, it's believed, as he was looking back at a large portion of his life. And he's able to look back at his life and see how God had worked through the affliction that God allowed. And so he's looking back and he's able to say, it was good that I went through those difficult times. It was good that I had this hardship. It was good that God allowed this to come into my life here. It was good that God sent it this way. You know, in the middle of a difficulty, we might not be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And there may be one here this morning, you're going through a trial like that. You don't see the light at the end of the... You don't even see a glimmer of light. You're wondering how the Lord is going to work or what He's going to do. And when we're in the middle of a trial or an affliction, sometimes it becomes a struggle because we don't know when it's going to end or how God can work. You know, at the moment, we may not know why God has allowed an affliction into our life. We may not know the purpose that God is going to work through that affliction. We just don't know as we're going through the trial. But later, when we look back, is when we can recognize God's work, and sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes we can understand His purpose. And we can see why He allowed that into our life. But what does that mean for us today? This is what I want to talk about now. What does that mean for us today? Now, that's nice when we're looking back, but how about when we're in the middle of the trial? How can we be encouraged in the middle of the trial? I want to begin with, as we're talking about perspective, I want to say this: perspective is everything. How we look upon something will often determine how we handle it. First, with the wrong perspective, we can be overcome. Not necessarily we will be, but it's possible to be overcome. So, with the wrong perspective, we can be overcome. Now, I believe it all depends upon where we look. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew. We have an illustration right here in the Bible concerning this, and I think it's the best illustration there is. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to be looking at verses 25 through 31. Matthew chapter 14. Beginning in verse 25, it says there, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now we have an excellent illustration right here on this subject. Peter was able to walk on water because of God's strength, not his strength, not his abilities, not his talents, not his intelligence, all because Jesus told him to do it and gave him the power to walk on the water. And so Peter stepped out of that ship, stepped on the water, and he walked. Now, we often talk about his mistake, but I tell you what, no one else stepped out of the boat. He's the only one. And he went by faith, and God blessed him, and he did walk on water. Now, up until that point, as he's going out, now the Bible gives the impression it wasn't just a few feet. I think Peter went quite a ways out there, far enough that he couldn't return back to the ship. He knew he was in trouble once he began to sink. And so we find one of the most powerful, effective prayers in the Bible. Lord, save me, is what he said. That's it. And the Lord blessed him. You see, Peter went out on that water. Everything was fine as he's walking. And so let's take a look real quick at what changed. You see, the situation remained the same. The storm. The storm was still there. The storm didn't stop. The Savior remained the same. Jesus Christ didn't change. He was still there waiting for Peter. Peter's sight is what changed. What he looked upon is what changed. The Bible tells us that he began to look upon the storm, and he began to notice the boisterous storm. I imagine as he's walking out there, he probably began to realize what he was doing and began to think about what was happening. He's on water in the middle of a storm. Not just water. It'd be enough just to be on water when it was nice out, let alone in the middle of a storm. And he begins to focus on the storm. I wonder if the wind picked up a little bit more. The water began to splash in his face as he's walking. And there he looks upon the storm, takes his eyes off Jesus Christ, and the Bible tells us he begins to sink. And he begins to go down under. You know, this morning, here's the lesson for us here. When we take our eyes off the Lord, and we began to look upon our affliction or began to focus upon our trouble, and we began to notice that and put our eyes there, then we will be in trouble, or I guess you say heading for trouble. And that's what we find here with Peter. We find that he struggled with what was seen, what was noticed, and because of that he lost faith in the Lord. So this morning, I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on the Lord, because when you're in the middle of an affliction, it's going to be tempting to quit. I guarantee it. It's going to be tempting to quit serving the Lord, or to quit reading your Bible, or to quit seeking Him in prayer, to quit serving the Lord in the ways you've been serving Him. You're going to be tempted to quit. And you're going to be tempted to quit when you're tested. You may wonder why God has allowed that trial into your life. And you may begin to think that God does not care. You see, that the temptation will come up. You'll begin to think, well, God doesn't care. He's allowed this into my life. Why has He allowed this into my life? He may not care about me. He may not be there to help me or to assist me. I remind you of Hebrews 13, verse 5, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So never, if you're saved here this morning, never think that God has forsaken you or that God has left you in the middle of a trial to fend for yourself. Be faithful. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Secondly, we can be tempted to quit when we are demoted. Nobody likes to take steps backwards. We all want to go forwards. We all want to climb the ladder. We all want to move forward. We all want to think that we are going the direction that is gaining, I guess. We're prospering. We're being successful. But there are going to be times in our life where God may require us to step backwards. God may require us to either slow down or to even be demoted in certain areas of life. You know, when that occurs and we have to step backwards, we may be tempted, or we may wonder how God will continue to use us. You know, when we have to step backwards, often we get the feeling of rejection. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. Or God may not want me to do this. And we may begin to wonder if God will use us. You know, that's when it'll be tempting to believe that God is through with us. And I'll tell you this, this can happen to anybody. We can be tempted to believe that God is through with us, that God is finished with us, that God is going to put us on a shelf, so to speak, and He's no longer going to work through us or bless us, and the temptation will come. Never think that. If God has left you here, God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. God can bless you instantly. God can continue to encourage you, and God can give you exactly what He has for you. Here's another one. How about when we're called upon to move? Now, of course, location, but how about just life in general? We have to move our position in life. Now, this can be at work. Sometimes you have to take a new position, whether you want to or not. That's just the way life is, and you have to move. Sometimes in service to God, you may have to do something else just because you're unable to serve in that manner. How about life in general? You know, I don't want to burst your bubble this morning, but we are aging, every single one of us. And believe it or not, we're going backwards. Our limitations are increasing as we age. It's just the way life is. We're going that way. And if you don't believe me, then take a look at some of these young people this morning, right after church, and they take off running, sprinting, and no stretching, and they're not even going to feel it. Not even tomorrow they won't feel it. They'll do the same thing again. I used to tell people, I can still run. I just feel it. You know, I can't walk for the next week, but I can do some of those things I used to do, but I'll feel it a lot longer. Life in general. And when that happens, sometimes we are tempted to think that because we're unable to do what we used to do or what we had done before, that God may not work through us again. And that's a temptation that can discourage us. This morning, don't think that. God can work through your life right now where you are. And God has given you gifts and abilities. And you know, I think it's so interesting in the Bible, some of the men in the Bible, I think of Daniel, some of the greatest achievements in his life were saved to the end of his life. After God, I think, because God had to prepare him for those visions. God had to prepare him for those trials and those tests when he went. You know, when we think of Daniel in the lion's den, We're not talking of a young man in there. I don't think a young man would have made it through some of that, the trials he made it through. He had grown in the Lord. His faith was strengthened. And so the point where he was ready to face those difficulties and God was able to bless him. So no matter what age you are here this morning, I guess I want to remind you that God knows how old you are. And God will bless you right now where you are. Just keep faithful, serving the Lord. So with an incorrect perspective, if we're not careful, it can lead to a lack of faith and discouragement. Now, how about with the correct perspective? Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. With the correct perspective, we can endure by God's grace, is what I believe. With the correct perspective, we can endure by God's grace. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I think it was R.A. Torrey who used to say that those all things. He used to love this verse because whenever something would come up in his life that was a trial or difficulty, he'd say that's one of those all things. And then he'd continue on. You know, as we live life down here, there are going to be a lot of things that come into our life that we won't know why. We don't know how God will work, but we just need to trust He will. And that's perspective, looking to God, putting our faith in God as we go through a difficulty or as we go through an affliction. You know, David, when we read the passage back there in Psalm 119, I think we find that David knew the affliction was the result of either bad men, evil men, or his own bad decisions. But he also believed that God could work through those afflictions for his good. And that's what it comes down to. You know, yes, in life, we're going to have some difficulties. But we must get through them believing God will work out His purpose and His will for our life. And that God will produce good out of those trials and those troubles. Even when we make mistakes. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. And you may make a mistake that you may say, well, God can never use me again. Seek God's forgiveness. Fall down on your knees. Humble yourself before the Lord. Ask His forgiveness. Repent of the sin. Turn away from it. 1 John 1, 9, we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Seek God's forgiveness. And then you know what? Trust that God will bless you through that trouble. That affliction. He can still produce good in your life. And you may be surprised how He does it. And that's what we find here. You know, David trusted that the Lord was able to overrule the affliction, basically is what it amounted to. He trusted that God could overrule it and bless him. You know, this morning, that's perspective. You know, we look upon a difficulty. Maybe you have, this morning, maybe there's someone here, you have a trial, maybe it's a health issue, a situation of your health. Maybe it's something at work, something has come into your life. You know what a correct perspective is? The correct perspective is looking at that trial and saying, you know what, I don't know how God's going to work, I don't know how God's going to bless, but I believe that He can overrule this. And if He wants to, He can take it away. If He doesn't want to, then He's going to give me something good through this. He's going to strengthen me, build me, He's going to teach me. Whatever it is, God is going to provide in this affliction. And that's what I think David believed in. See, this morning, David found God to be faithful, and we should never underestimate the Lord. Let's never underestimate His power. Let's never underestimate His abilities. Let's never underestimate His plan and His ability to carry out that plan in our life. Basically, David looked to God, is what he did. And as we go through his life over the next few weeks, that's what we'll see. That he continued to look to God and he trusted in the Lord. You see, he understood that the Lord had a plan and he believed he was part of it. And he knew that God would lead him through that trial or give him the strength that was needed to get through it. And in Psalm 119, verse 71, you notice it just says there, it was good for me that I have been afflicted. He doesn't talk about his thoughts during the trial, necessarily, or during those afflictions. He doesn't tell us what he thought. But basically here, he's looking back and he says, you know what, I was afflicted. I had some difficult times. But he recognized that God was good, that God brought him through those, and that God blessed him and taught him through those times. In other words, it was good for him to be tested. It was good for him to be afflicted. It was good for him to face those difficulties. I think of athletes today. Those of you that enjoy watching sports, whatever your favorite sport is, if you have a team sport, football, basketball, baseball, whatever you enjoy watching, I think of teams when they win a championship. You know, when they win the championship, they go and they hold that trophy up. Each one takes turn holding it. They celebrate. They have a good time. And you know what's not brought up is all those days of hard work and practice and all those days in the weight room for some athletes, and all those days where they worked and played all those games to get to that point. At that point, they're looking back, and I imagine most of them would probably say, you know, it was worth all the work. It was worth all the early mornings or late nights of practice. It was worth all that to be successful at what they had done. And that's really what we find here with David. He's saying, guess what? It's worth it. He's looking back now and saying that the afflictions were real, the afflictions were difficult. He's not minimizing the afflictions. He's saying those afflictions, the end result was good. That it was worth going through those. And so this morning, perspective. You know, we may not be able to know the end result right now if you're in the middle of a trial. But we do know by faith that God will work all things out for good. And we know someday, Lord willing, if the Lord allows that trial to end while we're still alive here on earth, we'll be able to look back and say, it was for good. I see now. I know that God has blessed me through that. So the affliction was beneficial. It was good. Now let's look at the second thought, the purpose. That was the perspective. David was able to say it was good. Now let's look at the purpose real quick. He says here in verse 71, it was good for me that I have been afflicted. Here's the second part. That I might learn thy statutes. So, I have some two thoughts I'll give to you in this. First, David learned from his affliction. I think it's always good to be learning. Always. We should be learning all the time. As believers, we should just look to learn some things of God. I think just in general, it's good to be learning. I think some of the best advice that was given to me when I first went into college, I had a professor. And I remember the first day, in class, he said, I can't teach you everything about this subject. I can't even remember what the subject was off the top of my head. But I do remember him saying this. I'll teach you what I can. He said, but from this point on, he goes, if you dedicate yourself to whenever you find something on the subject, to read it, to learn about it, to apply it, he goes, you will eventually, he goes, be an expert in the subject. Now, of course, not everyone was going to go that direction in that class, but the lesson was basically, learn, always be learning, always be looking to find something. In our afflictions, we can learn. And that's what David's saying here. David learned from his affliction. Now, difficulties lead us, first off, to value God's truths. We will regard the Word of God, the promises of God, we'll lift them up because we'll recognize that they're from God. See, he used the word statutes there. Now, that word statutes means decrees or appointments. And he's saying that he, as we see here, he said, that I might learn thy statutes, the Lord's decrees, the Lord's appointments. That would be the Lord's law, the Lord's direction. In David's life, he didn't have the New Testament, but what he had was from God, and he understood that. And he knew that these afflictions would make those real to him, and he would learn the ways of God. You know, this morning we have his word, Genesis to Revelation. We call it a Bible, is what we call it. 66 books, Old Testament and New Testament. We have it in many different formats. We can read it on the go. I don't advise always reading. I think it's good to read it all the time, but make sure you slow down and read it and study it. In this book, we not only learn of God, but we also learn about ourselves. That's why this Bible is so important, because it tells us about God, but it's true about us. See, here in this book, we find that God is almighty. We find He's the Creator. We also find that He's good. We find that He's gracious. We find that He's patient. We find that He's merciful. But you know what we also find? We find out that we are the opposite of all those things. We are impatient. We are rebellious. We are stubborn. We are sinful. And the list goes on and on of all the adjectives we can use to describe ourselves. But basically, the Bible tells us the truth about God and about us. And so when we read the Word of God, and it becomes real to us, then we will learn about God. Now, David discovered that he learned more about God through his trials. That's what he discovered. Notice, we'll go back to Psalm 119. I want to go back. Notice what he said in verse 68. In Psalm 119, verse 68, he says, Thou art good, and he's talking to God, Thou art good, and doest good. And then he says, Teach me thy statutes. Three verses down, verse 71, he says, It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So he's looking to God in this psalm, in this poem. He says, Teach me your ways, your law, your statutes. And then he says, You know what? You've been teaching them to me. So all along, David had been learning about God. And he'd been learning about God through his afflictions. I read about a pastor who had been sick near death, had gotten an infection near death. And he'd been laid up in a hospital for several months. And he had a friend come by to visit him, a friend out of town, another pastor friend come by. and stayed with him for a little bit, and they talked. And as he was getting ready to leave, he said, "You know, brother," he said, "you've been here for, you know, coming upon, you know, 3 or 4 months." And he goes, "You're starting to get your energy back." And he goes, "Hopefully," he goes, "you'll be able to get back to where you'll be able to lead your church again." He goes, "And that you'll have the knowledge and the ability, and you'll get that back to be able to lead your church." And the man, he looked at his friend. He said, "You know what?" He goes, "In the past few months," he goes, "I have learned more about God." He goes, "And I have all my years in the ministry." He said, "I'll be able to lead my church right now without any problem." You see, afflictions make God's word real, and they make God real to us because we began to seek God and go to God. See, David learned from the Lord, or learned about the Lord, through the trials. You see, George Whitefield said this. He says, "All trials are sent for two ends, that we may be better acquainted with the Lord Jesus and with our own wicked hearts." The more we're tested, I think the more we'll lean upon the Lord. Now let's think about some of the things we can learn about God when we're afflicted. We can learn about God's grace. You know, when you're not tested and tried, we talk about, you know, God remembers us. We know He remembers us. But when we're in the middle of a storm and a trial and then we get through it, we know God remembered us. We think of His grace. How about God's goodness? He cares for us, provides for us even in the midst of the trouble. How about His mercy? He sees us through the trial. His power protects us. His wisdom leads us through that trial, guides, directs, gives us the ability to make the correct decisions. You know, I think basically His word becomes real when we are afflicted. Up until that point, really, we're reading about God. We may be hearing about God. But when we go through the afflictions, that's when we're learning about God. You see, it's no longer reading about faith. It's living by faith. It's no longer hearing about God's power, but witnessing God's power in your life. And that happens through affliction. You know, think of athletes. We'll come back to the illustration of athletes. They prepare for games. But for the most part, they're not going to... They'll tell you. They don't know how good they are until they actually get out there. When they're tested on the playing field, whatever it may be. Football, basketball, baseball. They can talk about what they'll do. They can talk about how good they are. And believe me, some really talk about what they can do and how good they are. And then when they get on the field, you see, they're tested. You find out. And that's when it becomes real. That's when it's real when, you know, you have a 240-pound linebacker coming at you full speed trying to knock your head off. That's when things become real. Afflictions, I think, make our life with God real. It's no longer just reading about it or thinking about it. We are walking with God. And Hebrews 10, the just shall live by faith. That's when we begin to live by faith. So afflictions, I think we learn about God, and we learn to live for God. You know, to never be afflicted. Have you ever thought about this? You know, there are times I think, I don't know if all of us would say this, I mean, this is just me. There are times when I thought, you know, it'd be nice to have a life without any afflictions. It just would be nice. At least that's my thought. You know, I think that's the human nature thought. It'd be nice to have a life of ease and comfort without any problems, any trials, or any afflictions. But let's think on this. If this verse is accurate, and I believe it is, and we find other portions in the Scripture, to never be afflicted is to never know more about God. So if we had a life without afflictions, you know, we would remain immature Christians. We would remain without a knowledge of God, a real knowledge of God, not just a reading knowledge of God, but an intimate knowledge of God, a relationship with Him, because He's working in our life and He's blessing us. So without affliction, faith will always remain weak. If you don't have any trials, you have no ability to test your faith. I think about Peter on the water. You can say all you want, but he went out there. His faith was tested. Without affliction, our faith will remain weak. Without affliction, our service, I think, to God will be minimal. It'll just remain pretty much just there. We won't serve the Lord. Without faith, I think pride will probably grow in place of humility. Because without affliction, excuse me, without affliction, pride will grow in place of humility. And without affliction, we will never know what God is able to do for us or through us. If you're never tested, if you're never tried, if you're never having a situation where you got to rely upon God, you'll never know how powerful God is. And that's why afflictions are good. Because we learn through our afflictions. Because David was afflicted, he learned more about God. And he became stronger. His faith grew. And he was blessed. You know, the second thought underneath the purpose And this is our final thought here. David lived closer to the Lord because he was afflicted. Go back with me. We're in Psalm 119. Notice what he said in verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Before he was afflicted, he said he went astray. He lived unto himself. He did what he wanted. We all get that way. But he said the affliction brought him back. And because he was afflicted, he was closer to the Lord. You know, David lived selfishly at times. And we'll see that. You read that. You find that in 1 and 2 Samuel. He lived selfishly at times. And we're all guilty of that sin as well. Instead of seeking the Lord's will, he sought what he wanted and what he desired. And the affliction, I think, humbled him. At times, it drove him to his knees. Brought him back to God, seeking God's forgiveness. Asking God for blessings. Asking God for direction. He just wanted God to be in his life, is all it was. He just wanted God to be there. And so the affliction brought him back to the Lord. And it produced in David a life of separation unto God and a life of dedicated service. And that's what affliction will do. The affliction will keep us focused on the Lord. Now think of this morning. Without affliction, Joseph would have remained a shepherd instead of Egypt's second in command. Without affliction, Moses would have remained in Egypt enjoying the things of the world instead of leading God's people out of Egypt and becoming a man of God, a man of faith. Without affliction, Daniel would have probably remained obscure instead of becoming prime minister of two world empires. Without affliction, the apostles would have remained ignorant. Some of them fishermen, some of them tax collectors, but they wouldn't have become the powerful preachers they became without affliction. Without affliction, Paul would have continued as a lost Pharisee on his way to hell instead of God's apostle to the Gentiles. And it's not just those men. Think of John. Had John the apostle not been exiled to the Isle of Patmos, he wouldn't have been given the revelation which he could give to God's people, which we read today. You think of that affliction. The affliction was there, but they were blessed. William Tyndale lived a life on the run until he was finally betrayed, captured, and executed. But because of that man and his desire to have the Word of God printed so everyone could read it, we have God's Word today in our hands. You talk about someone who was afflicted, but it was for good. How about John Bunyan? Preacher, 1600s in England. His greatest literary work, The Pilgrim's Progress, was written while he sat in a Bedford prison. Wasn't at home, he wasn't at his desk, but he was in prison. There's a man by the name of Thomas Goodwin, back in the 1600s, had a large library, a preacher and a professor, large library, and he cherished this library. In 1666, he lost most of it in a terrible fire in London. Now, mind you, he didn't have it on his iPod or his iPad. He had it. He lost it. They were gone. He had to go search again for these around the world. He lost those. He was discouraged. And he told his son later, he said, God struck me. He said, I loved my books too well, and God corrected this by affliction. After this, he wrote a book called Patience and Its Perfect Work, and that has encouraged countless Christians through the years. Affliction. You see, affliction brought about good in his life, brought him closer to God. How about George Whitefield? Preached. When he preached, he was mocked and at times physically assaulted. They would throw rocks at him. I'm thankful that I got a congregation that doesn't do that to me. They would throw rocks at him and try to knock him off the pulpit while he was preaching. But his preaching, which he never gave up in, his preaching prepared the future nation of America for a revival, the Great Awakening. How about Fanny Crosby? She was blind. But instead of living with remorse, she used the gifts of God to write a multitude of poems and hymns, many of which we still sing today. You know, some of the greatest saints have been afflicted, and they have found it to be good. You know, this morning, affliction, I really think this, affliction is a benefit. It's an advantage for God's people. Now, that may sound weird, but it is. Because it keeps us humble, to start with. When we're afflicted, what happens? We go to God. We're humbled. We realize, I can't do this on my own. So, because we're humbled, pride doesn't destroy us. I think we should be thankful that God allows us to be afflicted from time to time. So that way we remain at His feet and not thinking we're something when we're nothing and we need His power and strength. Also, affliction keeps us seeking the Lord in prayer. When we're afflicted, we find ourselves on our knees a little bit more than we do when we're everything's going fine. When we have troubles or trials or we have situations that seem to be difficult, then we go to God in prayer a little more often. Or sometimes our prayer is just a little more serious. We pray a little longer because we're afflicted. So affliction keeps us on our knees. Also, it encourages us to remain in God's Word. You know, when we're afflicted, we're looking for answers. We're looking for direction. And where do we find that? In the Bible. So when we're afflicted, we begin to read God's Word. Maybe we take notes a little bit more. We study a little bit more. We memorize a little bit more verses. And we're trying to find direction. And next thing you know, we have learned more about God and His Word because we were afflicted. Also, it reminds us of what is important in life. That's what affliction does. When we're afflicted and we have troubling times, it reminds us that God is important. It reminds us that spiritual matters are more important than physical. Yes, it's a blessing to have a career or a job, but when we're afflicted, we're reminded that the things of God are of value and we should seek the things of the Lord. You know, like an athlete in the weight room, when a believer is afflicted, they're strengthened. You think of athletes, they train and they train and train. For the most part, and I know there are some that enjoy it, but most of them don't enjoy the training. They enjoy the result of the training, but not necessarily the training. But you know, as believers, that's what happens in affliction. God strengthens us and we learn more about Him. So it's good to be afflicted. Also, there have been many that without affliction, they wouldn't be saved here this morning. Because something came up in their life, because the Lord allowed an affliction or a trial or trouble, they turned to God. I think of John Newton, a slave trader. Found himself floating in the middle of the ocean after his ship sunk. And there he trusted in Christ as his Savior. And you know what he did? He served the Lord the rest of his life, and he fought against the wickedness that he once partook of. His life was changed. And the affliction brought about that change. You see, affliction is good. Perhaps there's one here this morning. You're being afflicted, troubled, trial. You just don't know how God's leading. I want to encourage you, as we've seen this morning, to remember that God has a purpose for that in your life. I hope and pray everyone here is saved, but maybe there's someone here that has been, either in this message or just recently has come to under the understanding that they aren't saved. They need to make a decision for Christ. Maybe your eyes have been opened because of something in your life, a realization that you need to get things settled with God. If that's the case, I encourage you to do so. You know, in closing, I guess the question comes up, well, what can be done? And I want to read one verse, and we're going to have a word of prayer. Matthew chapter 11. And I'm not going to say too much on this. I just want to read it, give a few thoughts, and then we're going to close in a word of prayer. What can be done? Because afflictions are real. They are, and they're difficult. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. And we're going to be reading verses 28 through 30. It says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." This morning, when we're tested, when we're afflicted, what we can do is look to Jesus Christ. That's what we can do. You know, Jesus Christ will give us rest from our burdens, is what He'll do. He provides the rest that is needed. And you'll notice he calls those that labor and those that are heavy laden. Those are two different groups. You have those that are working and working and working. And he calls those and says, "Come, I'll give you rest. Stop your religious work. Stop all your works. Come and trust me." And then those that are heavy laden. Is referring to a burden that is placed there, not by you, but by someone else. Basically, it's implying like, you know, something has been placed upon you. You know, a lot of burdens in life, that's what they are. They're not something of our choosing. They just happen. And we got to deal with them. He says, "If that's happened to you, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. I will give you rest." So this morning, Jesus Christ will give us rest from our burdens. You think of the burden of sin. He has paid the price. There's someone here who's still in their sins. He's paid the price for sin. And you can be saved here this morning by trusting in Christ as your Savior. How about the burdens we bear? After we're saved, we still carry burdens. How about the burdens we bear? I think He'll give us the strength to continue. He'll give us the ability to go forward. because we're trusting in Him. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day that You've given to us, for the blessings You've provided, and I pray as we have this time of invitation, if You have worked in anyone's heart here this morning, if there's anyone that's, if they're in the middle of an affliction or if they're carrying a burden, I pray today will be the day that they'll look to You, they'll just continue to seek Your strength and Your power. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a few minutes. We're just going to have a time of invitation as the piano begins to play. If God has worked in your heart here this morning in any way, I encourage you to seek Him in prayer. Maybe there's one here this morning that's, maybe you're in the middle of a trial, a personal trial, maybe a trial within your family, maybe at work, maybe within the service, your service to the Lord. Whatever the case may be, maybe this morning you just want to seek the Lord in prayer, talk to Him about it, look to Him. Maybe you're already doing that. You just want to continue to seek Him as far as finding strength. Or maybe you want to thank Him this morning. Maybe there's one here this morning, you're looking back and you say, you know, maybe you just got out of a trial. And like David, you can look back and you want to give thanks to the Lord. I encourage you to do that at this moment.